Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bluffed by Binnington. He puts it down and the horn sounds. The Boston Bruins roll in front of the St. Louis Blues with four goals in the third period. Rask was terrific. The penalty killers magnificent. And the Boston Bruins have forced a Game 7 on Wednesday that'll take place at TD Garden to decide the Stanley Cup.
And we discuss, it's Felger and Maz on a re-entry Monday, but let's face it, we'll be mostly Bruins Blues with a little David Ortiz and those updates mixed in as well. Fully loaded program. Anthony Maserati behind me in the Maz chair. Hi, Maz.
Good, you.
Peachy, thank you so much. Big Jim Murray getting settled in the update studio. So, what did you think about last night, Anthony?
So, I thought it was the Bruins' best game of the series. I thought that they made a concerted effort, obviously, to tighten things up in their own zone and go old school. And, you know, they've had some difficulty scoring and dealing with that Blues D. So, they said, you know what? If we're not going to score more than one or two, we're not going to give up more than zero or one. That's what they did. The goalie was up to the challenge. And, again, I big balls Bruins is what I call them after last night. That was a big, gritty, gutsy win to be able to go in that environment, a place that hadn't won in 50 years, which actually I think ended up helping them in some capacity, because I wonder how much that really affected the Blues. I thought it was their best game of the series, and almost to a man, I thought they all played pretty well. I mean, a couple of guys I would look at and say not so much. But overall, I don't have a ton to complain about with that one last night.
But it's ultimately more about one guy than anybody else, and it's Rask. And it's been talked about to death since the game ended, but I think it's rightfully so. Rask was the best player on the ice last night. Charlie McAvoy said in his great press conference afterwards, his little meeting with the media in the locker room, and he was right. That was Rask's best game, and it was the Bruins' best game in this series. That's what they needed out of him, because it was an onslaught, especially in that first period, where at times I think the Bruins were still being outplayed by the Blues. But he was absolutely unbelievable last night.
Sorry, do you think it changes how you felt about the series going into Game 7? In other words, did something fundamentally change there, or are we back to just the push-pull?
Whole thing's been so unpredictable.
Did the Bruins take control? Murray, you thought when the winner of Game 5 was going to win in Game 6.
Yeah.
Okay? Didn't happen. Does the winner in Game 6 win Game 7, that sort of thing? Or
I don't know.
Back to square one?
I think this thing has been so unpredictable. I think the Blues are for real. Their toughness has obviously taken over in a handful of games in this series. The Bruins haven't been all that great at home in this series. So, no, I'd like to think that there's some momentum there, and it's great to see Marchand and Pastrnak break through. And obviously, again, Rask played unbelievable. But I'm not going to be stunned if the Blues ended up coming in here and winning 2-1 on Wednesday night.
Don't be stupid.
It's a worthy opponent.
Yeah. Don't be stupid. It's not over. You're still going to win another one.
They might be better than you.
And so you got to win another one. Like, I'm not sitting here saying that. But I'm telling you that, I think it's actually a little bit of both. Like, is there anything I think you can take from this game and predict Game 7? No. No. But do I think the Bruins found something? Maybe.
What'd they find?
How to play against the Blues in their own end in particular. I mean, to me, again, I don't know how many times it felt like forwards were down there in the slot intercepting passes. It happened over and over and over again. Their forwards really got back.
How about shot blocks?
A million of them.
Didn't feel like it was only 16, but didn't feel like it was a real factor in
yes,
that game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they clogged it up. They got back. And I think, again, you know, it felt like a concerted effort, part of the game plan. Look, we're going to have trouble scoring in this series. They're D are that good. That's who they are. Hell, Cassidy predicted it at the beginning of the series. He said it's going to be a defensive series. This is what we're in for. And with the exception of really the one game, the 7-2 game that was a stinker, that game last night was not a 5-1 game. We all know that. So they're all 2-1, 3-2 games. That's what they are. And the Bruins are going to have to find a way to keep the puck out of the net if they want to win.
You know, when I say the Blues are better, I think they're better 5-on-5. But, I mean, you have the better goalie, clearly. You have much better special teams. So, when you know, you add that all up, who's a better team? I don't know. But I think, you know, the 5-on-5 thing, unless something changes, I think St. Louis is sort of established they're going to carry the balance of that player. I mean, that's the way it's been the first six games. Yeah, I can't predict the future, but you know, even last night, I thought there were stretches where it's just, whew, you can't get to where you want to go to 5-on-5 against them a lot of the time. And I know, you know, I'm not the only one that feels that way. So to me, it's, you know, what kind of game are you going to get? Are they going to call penalties like they kept doing last night? And you were at the disadvantage. But you know, I think even you being on the PK in some strange way is okay. I mean, I'd rather be 5-on-5 than 5-on-4. But if that's kind of game, if it's that kind of game, being on the power play, the St. Louis is one of those teams that going on the power play almost takes them out of their offensive rhythm, like the Bruins used to be. It almost takes them out of their rhythm. And so you know, you sort of look at it and you say, you know, what kind of game is it going to be in Game 7? You have the better goaltender. I mean, just start there. And you know what stands out to me, maybe this is a tangent, how in the modern NHL, those great defensemen are almost as important as a goalie. Aren't we seeing it with St. Louis?
Oh, yes.
That you can get away with a good, not great goalie if you've got great defense around him.
Absolutely.
It's sort of like a bigger picture topic for how you build your team and your salary cap and all that, but I think you're seeing it right here, that you don't need a franchise goalie if you have those defensemen. That's St. Louis.
No question. Yeah, and again, if you extrapolate it and you want to talk, you know, take it into a, this is part of the reason you should feel pretty good about where the Bruins are going. You know, again, I'll see what happens up front. But if you got McAvoy and Carlo back there for years to come, you should be all right. You should be all right. Now, last night, again, I just thought they allowed 17 shots, even strength. 17 on goal. I mean, that's pretty good. Six a period? That's all they were getting?
You're saying the Bruins allowed that?
Yeah, the Bruins allowed 17 shots, even strength. 12 of the Blues shots came on the power play. 12. So the Bruins are committing penalties. There was some stupid stuff going on there. No two ways about it. But even strength last night in terms of, you know, how they did defensively now. I'm not talking about offensively. Defensively. Because the puck was still in their zone. They did a better job at it.
Oh, Carlo.
Much better job.
Carlo and McAvoy were awesome last night. And that was good for McAvoy because I thought he's been in this series in the last two games. Prior to last night, I thought he was kind of downright awful.
So 5-on-5, I would, you know, tilt to St. Louis until maybe that Carlo goal, the Carlo bouncer. Then I think the third period sort of opened up and sort of changed. But I agree with Matt. The number one thing last night, and it should be their model for Game 7, is that this has changed now from a first one to three goals wins series to a first one to two. And now you're playing for 2-1 games, not 3-2 games. They came in and got one in Game 5. You went in and got one in Game 6. You know, essentially, I know that was 5-1, but for all intents and purposes, that was
a 2-1 game.
That was a 2-1, 3-1 game.
Yeah, really.
And that was the way Rask played and the way he needed to play and all of that. And so
that's how you have to win it.
Now it's ramped down even further. Forget first one to three. You know, you got to think about holding them to one or fewer.
Yep. I mean, I think that's the way to do it. So that's why I say, have they unlocked something? I think they've come to that conclusion. And I think that's the only way they're going to win it is, you know, if they try to win the game 4-3, they're not going to win it 4-3.
It starts with Rask, of course. I thought the best part of his whole night was his rebound control.
Excellent.
His swallowing up pucks. And not the easiest of chances either. So, you know, very few good second chance opportunities. The shot blocking I mentioned, I thought was a full team thing. I thought it was very noticeable, their shot blocking. The forwards coming down low, Maz, for sure. And then add in puck luck. I think they got some puck luck. And not just that incredible sequence with the puck on Tuukka Rask's back.
Oh, Parayko.
Yeah, so on the tip in the second period on the power play, I feel like there were three or four chances there where the Blues are down there, they're at the doorstep, there's a deflected puck, there's a redirection, and just a little bit of an angle this way or that way, and one's in the back of the net. And so I think you got some puck luck in that game last night.
Yeah, again, you know, to me, it all sort of goes hand in hand, though. What I look for more than anything is the compete on every puck. And they weren't competing on pucks like that in the first six games. Last night, the puck, I don't know what, you know, again, to the best of my knowledge, there's no puck battle stat out there. I'd love to see one because I guarantee you the Blues have dominated in this series in that area. Last night felt like something closer to 50-50. I still think the Blues are winning the majority of them, but the Bruins were way better on it last night. Way better.
I was surprised with the officiating. I thought you'd get the clear benefit of the officiating. It turned out to be just the opposite. And let me just tell you, the absolute key sequence to our entire spring, and not just the game and not just this series, but our entire spring and the next couple of months, was that save off of Tuukka Rask's back, because that was a power play in which the Blues went on the man advantage after Brad Marchand blatantly slew-footed Alex Petrangelo, embellished, helped by the call, the exact same thing that happened in reverse, and that's not necessarily saying that Achari flopped, but I'm just saying obvious slew-foot, and you don't get the call in Game 5. They give the Blues the exact same thing in Game 6. If they went on the power play and scored that goal to tie it and then went on to win, oh my God, can you imagine what we'd be doing around here?
Oh yeah, screwed on both ends.
Can you imagine?
Yep. You get screwed by the non-call and then screwed by the call on the same play.
So now you call it. If they had taken advantage, that puck just bounces one other way. They tie it, go on to win. Can you imagine what we're doing today?
Of course. Yeah, and again, and Murray mentioned this in the exchange too, when it happened in real time, you know, because again, you get to this stage, every detail becomes a little clearer. The puck hits Rooney, doesn't get out of the zone. All of a sudden, the Bruins get it and score.
It was Rooney a hit.
I mean, right? What irony right there.
That was on the Carlo goal.
Yeah, the Carlo
goal.
And when it happened to, in my head.
Oh, so now you're talking about something else.
Yeah, but I wish I was watching it with people because I knew it. I saw it coming. I was like, watch this puck bouncing off this guy's ass actually benefit the Bruins. And it did.
Okay, but I'm going back
right.
You jumped ahead. So I'm just saying that would have been the power play goal on the Marchand slew foot that you didn't get in Game 5.
Sure.
The tripping penalty on McAvoy.
Oh, the Tarasenko dive?
Yeah.
I hated that.
Okay. That was a dive?
Yeah, that was a dive.
God, you're so eager to call the Blues on diving, Murray.
I mean, I thought, I thought the Marchand penalty was stupid.
I just hate that they're calling it, and I did not think that they'd be calling it against you. I thought you'd get the deference last night, and you really didn't. It was... You know, 4-1 in penalties till the end when the Blues got all garbagey there at the very end. So I'm surprised that you did not get the benefit of the officiating, and you still persevered it because you're a much better special teams outfit than St. Louis, much better. I just don't know. In Game 7, are you gonna get those calls even in Game 7?
Nope. So again, if I'm the Bruins, I want them to take the exact same approach they took last night. Assume nothing. Fight for every puck. And I'm not telling you they won every one last night, but I'm telling you that for the first time in the whole series, I thought they pretty much competed for every puck. Pretty much. Where has this been? That's the part I find a little bit frustrating. It took them six games to figure this out. They had to be down 3-2 in the finals going to St. Louis before all of a sudden it's, guys, we got to button it down. We got to tighten it up. Like, it took that long. But the formula, I feel like the formula they unlocked last night. Now, will they be able to execute it again? I have no flipping idea. How the hell could you? With the way this thing has gone, push, pull, push, pull, push, pull. The whole way. Only one team has won two in a row. The road team has won four of the last five. You can't assume anything here now.
All right, good stuff. It's your thoughts on the Bruins and the Blues. We'll get to David Ortiz a little bit later this hour as well. It's Felger and Maz on a Reentry Monday.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B.O.B. Boob. Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We need 60 minutes of our best. We've had pockets of that. I thought game five, we played pretty well. Obviously, we'd like to have the better start. We did the other night, didn't result in a lead, but it certainly puts you in a good place. So that's our goal tonight. On-time start.
Right at the net, fired, they score! Brad Martian!
It's a lot easier playing with the lead, and they play a different game when they have the lead versus when we have the leads.
High slot, walking in Parayko, tees it up, Rask the save as he took that blast right in the midsection. Rask reached up with the left hand and stared it. High slot, fired by Dunn, Rask the save, rebound Petrangelo. I thought that was in, the puck rebounds over to the near side.
It was Charlie McAvoy who saved the game.
It's a team effort, you know, like, you know, you may have to make a save and then you try to keep it tight.
Carlo Rister, Binnington, they score!
Here's Petrangelo to the goal. Save is made. O'Reilly shooting, and oh no! Rask was down, but again it's kept out.
We heard a horn, Curbs. This is a goal.
You saw it go over the line?
I did. I saw this go in. This is a goal. Yep, 100%.
Pastrnak shoots, he scores! Charles going to try it. Long range, shoots, he scores! And the Boston Bruins have forced a game seven to decide the Stanley Cup.
We just want to try to focus and do what we've done all year, which is prepare and try to play the same game. We're not going to get caught up in the excitement about it. We're just going to try to prepare and focus the same way that we did tonight.
We have a hockey game to win. That's all really that matters.
The whole hockey world loves a game seven, so it should be a great night in Boston, and may the best team win.
All right, that's Jimmy's look back. Your thoughts on game six, Bruins Blues. Matt in West Roxbury, lead us off today.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great game last night. I just wanted to touch on Coleman and how good he was last night. And if you're going to keep him for game seven instead of Grizzlick.
Okay, Carson Coleman into the lineup over David Backes. Good call.
Yes, absolutely. He was right.
Turned out to be the good call.
Did you like it when you heard about it?
No.
I didn't.
I was neutral. I wasn't as excited about David Backes going in there as you guys were. And I have no problem drawing in a young player or an inexperienced player into this spot because sometimes they're too dumb to know. Exactly right, Murray. And legs and whatnot. I mean, the kid from Massachusetts that drew into the Blues lineup has helped him.
Samford.
The Dunn kid is good.
He is good.
You know, not that he was a total greenhorn, but you know, he hadn't been playing. He draws into the lineup. He's got good skill. I thought, you know, when your younger guys, when Steve Camphor came in the other day, it wasn't like he was way, way, way behind. I have no problem bringing those guys in from out of... I wanted them to consider Jurovec and Einen when they were both without Chara and Grzelcyk. So I have no problem with that on paper. You know, the inexperienced guy or the guy that hadn't played in a while. But I just thought his speed was obvious even before he scored. He was pressing the St. Louis D wide. His speed was a factor, you could tell. And it was the absolute right call.
Yeah, so my issue was strategically I wanted someone big with those two, you know, and he ended up playing with Krejci, but I wanted someone big to play with Bergeron and Marchand. So I thought, well, you know, I don't know. But he was dynamite. I mean, Coleman was dynamite. And if I were them, I wouldn't change a thing.
Nope.
Even if Grizzlick's ready.
It's too late.
Yeah, I don't change it. I leave Moore in there. I think Moore's been good. I mean, again, he feels steady to me, all in all. So if I'm them, I don't change a thing.
We've got Charlie in Fall River. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, guys, I think what they really changed last night was the structure in the D zone. It looked like they almost played like a zone. The defense was staying in front of the net. The forwards are out high. If the puck went in the corner, they'll let the forwards go get it. And you just saw the really telling thing to me was McAvoy's behind that at one point. He's battling out with two blues, and Char was standing on the post. And it looked like he wanted to go three or four times back there to get a loose puck, and he stayed there. You could tell he was hesitating, but he stayed there. He covered that post. He stayed in front of the net. And it looked, just looked like a lot less running around, a lot more structure, and the block shots really stood out to me. That was a great, great defensive battle last night.
Okay, Charlie. I think the forwards were what stood out.
Yeah, no question.
How well they came.
Oh, they came way low.
I mean, he says they were up high. I think they packed it in.
How many times did you see a guy get a stick on a puck that was going through the slot area?
Yeah.
Or pick it off entirely?
Right.
Happened over and over and over again. And you know what? This is how I felt like they played the game that they won in St. Louis. Like, last night they played better. That game wasn't as good as this one. But the forwards were getting back, and when they do that, I think they're successful.
Stephen Methuen. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
Good, Steve. What do you got?
I was going to touch on base on what you guys said about the reffing and the lack of calls in Game 5. And then they got the calls in St. Louis last night. But now that you guys already covered that, I want to know what you guys' thoughts on how it's going to be called on Game 7 and if you think the Bruins are going to benefit from some calls.
I have no idea, Steve. They didn't benefit last night. They didn't benefit. They were underwater on the penalties, which stunned me.
By a lot.
They were questionable. Both teams were diving around out there, which, again, is just annoying. But the arm went up against you more than them, which I thought would be just the opposite. I thought there'd be some atonement for that Achari thing, and it wasn't. Thanks, again, Chris Rooney, the guy from South Boston. Whenever he refs Bruins games, I know Bruins fans have a thing for him because it feels like he tries to overcompensate for his hometown roots, and now you're going to get him Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals and maybe Game 7. We don't know the ref assignment yet, but you have to wonder if Sutherland's going to be sat down after missing the one in Game 5, and we're going to get these guys again. Yes, Jimmy?
So Sutherland was the emergency official last night.
Right.
So Sutherland is probably getting Game 7. Rooney might be the emergency official for Game 7. That's if there's an injury on the ice with the official.
No, right.
The NHL brings in backups.
Right. They've been going back and forth. Those two crews have just swapped out all six games.
The question is whether they get to Game 7 and say, no, the Rooney crew's been better. We're going to go with you guys in 7.
Amonte said last night they're going to go back with Rooney. Not that he knew it. He said, my guess is they would go back with what happened last night because Sutherland's too hot after what happened.
See, but this should be a lesson, too, to both the Bruins and everybody else who was bitching about the call in Game 5. And it was a crap call. You didn't get the calls last night.
It's not about the calls.
You got one. You got one call, and that was the first penalty of the game. The second one's automatic when they chuck the puck in the crowd. That's irrelevant. So it's all about the judgment call. You got one. You got one the whole effing game.
And they got three.
And you played better. Because that's why you won. You played better.
Their power play blows.
It's awful.
God.
It's like the Bruins power play in 2011.
Yeah.
Right? All they do is take shots from the point.
It's rudimentary. Tarasenko's so talented, and he doesn't do anything out there. I mean, who were we talking to before that says he doesn't like to one-time it? He doesn't have a one-timer. So he's the one elite sniper that won't sit in his off wing and fire one-timers from the off face-off circle?
Total waste.
That's insane.
It is. It's a total waste.
So, but I just, good God, I just hate the whistles for either side, but they benefit you. If it's a special teams game, that benefits you. Frank the Tank. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I thought last night, the forwards in the D, they really came back in and protected the house. And I'm still nervous about their ability to clear the puck. I mean, it seems like they got trapped a few times in their own end. That made me nervous. But the thing I noticed last night that was different since, Game 3, they skated. They skated, and they skated hard, and they forechecked hard, and they really got to pucks, and they really battled for pucks. Even though I agree with you, Tony, it was kind of a 50-50 thing as far as battling pucks. So the skating was excellent. And if I'm Cassidy, I don't change a GD thing. Go in there tomorrow on Wednesday with the same lineup and send them to their emotional destruction.
Okay. Emotional destruction. I do wonder. Go
ahead. That's a good line. Go ahead.
I do wonder if there was some psychological damage, though. You're sitting there, Game 6. Cups in the building,
There's 40,000 fans outside. I don't blame this for this. I'm not, you know, one of these fans. Oh, you rented, you know, you rented out a bar to celebrate. Where, you know, like I guarantee you, the Bruins have rented out space here Wednesday night in case they win.
Of course.
So it's all like I'm not.
I guarantee you, the parade route's already planned.
You bet. So I'm not going to fall into that childish nonsense. But all I'm saying is, you're home. The cup's in the building. There's 40,000 fans out there. You got them, and you let it go. You let it go. And does that leave a mark somehow?
Well, so again, it's not always a positive, right?
Well, it's not always being home, but now does that translate to game 7?
Right. So, like, I look at it with the Bruins, too, and I say the same thing. The road team's won 4 of the last 5 in this series. And so now to have a chance to clinch in game 6 and then go back on the road.
I'm like, just saying, does that leave a mark on the Blues?
That's a toughie.
That you had it.
That's a toughie.
It was right there. It was in the hallway, right outside your locker room. The cup. It was right there. It was right there.
I mean, that is. That's a toughie. So we'll find out. But again, I don't think you can, you know, on this side, all of a sudden they're going to, you know, the Bruins fans and the Bruins and their fans are going to make judgments. Like, we got this? How could you possibly feel that way?
The very latest on David Ortiz right here in the.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's #1 sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High slot, fired by Dunn. Rask the save, rebound Petrangelo. I thought that was in. The puck rebounds over to the near side.
Rebound off the goal post, and is it in? I don't believe it. It hit the goal post and stayed out.
They have gone off the post and then off the back of Rask.
It's bouncing right behind Tuukka Rask. He's going to get his glove.
He's going to go. McAvoy got it out.
Behind his back, get a glove, and he's going to help a McAvoy.
Talk about puck luck, Judd. We talked about it last game.
It hit the post. It was bouncing there, and I think Chucky hit it with his stick, and I kind of heard it. I didn't know where it was, and I figured it might be, you know, somewhere behind me, so I just tried to corral it with my hand behind my back, and then it stuck in my, you know, pants, and then it fell somewhere. But, you know, I think, you know, Chucky made a great play to keep it out of the net originally.
I don't even know. It's just, I mean, it happened so fast. I saw it go off the post and off his back, and kind of just split second reflex swatted at it.
That play, wow. Mark it down. Depending on what happens Wednesday, that may be when you put on the list. Tim Thomas's diving stick save against Tampa. What was the player's name?
Downey. Steve Downey. Oh,
good job, Mass. Good job. His diving Superman save against Steve Downey in the East Finals in 2011. Michael Ryder.
A great one, wasn't it?
Yeah, Michael Ryder against the Canadians that same year. Glove save. Playing ball hockey out there. That one, add that to the list. Depending what happens Wednesday. They lose, we'll kind of forget about it. I've gone through like 3 different stages of that. When I first saw it, you know, you guys were there. I watched from the top rung there at the Enterprise Center, which is like a million miles away.
It's so up there.
Really hard to tell exactly what's going on when you're watching in real time. When it first happened, I said, oh my God, that's the most unbelievable save I've ever seen. Willie Mays Hayes with the behind the back basket catch. Like, I get that. It's unbelievable. Then I saw a replay and said, oh, McAvoy got it. Totally lucky. And then I've watched it again and again and again. And they say, well, no, actually, Rask, I think, felt the puck on his back.
He did.
And smartly, instinctively, and brilliantly, you know,
turned,
pivoted his body and protected it and kept it and shielded it away. So I'm back to giving Rask, you know, some credit for that.
He put his glove back there to try to catch it going down his back.
That's unbelievable.
Right? So the fact that his glove went back there tells you he felt it on his back.
Yeah, that's what you just took the words right out of my mouth. It was like he was trying to shake off a bee. Like he definitely felt like, get out of here. You know?
Tremendous.
The thing was wild.
Incredible. Like, again, and I give McAvoy credit for picking that thing out of the air. Like, I've come to the conclusion with these guys, because how many times do you see guys make a pass from their own net out to the blue line, a guy will bat it down and go? Like, I don't think it's luck anymore. I mean, and I'm not telling you they can do it 100%, but I think they're just in the right place and they have the skill to do it.
I'm just telling you, that's the latest key moment in the series. Just that it's 1-0, and that ties it up with 10 minutes left in the second. It's there on the power play because Marchand got called for the exact thing that Bozak did the game before, and they wouldn't call it. And if that puck had gone in, oh, my God.
Well, because we all said it when it happened. We said, well, that's exactly what happened in the last game. They didn't call it.
And the Blues go on to win that game because they get the call you didn't. Oh, God.
Now, granted, it was a little bit of a sell job, but that was a penalty. And what the hell was Marchand thinking? That was a stupid play.
Stupid play, Murray. Absolutely.
No question it was. And no question he sold it. And no question the refs bought some of it anyway. Again, both teams, I thought, were doing it last night badly. And Rooney and Dwyer buy it enough that there's odd man rush. But anyway, that save last night, mark it down. Mark it down. It may go down depending on what happens on Wednesday night. Back to your phones, as promised. Here's Tom and Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, I was just wondering on the O'Reilly goal. It was obviously a goal, but who decides that they're going to review that? And then while they're still playing, before they review it, if they scored, would they get credit for two goals?
No, it goes back. They go back in the DeLorean and stop time after the goal. And it's Toronto. And I think didn't the horn sound?
So I think so, yeah. And again, you know, Olchek was on it during the broadcast. I mean, so someone must be talking in his ear too, right? Like they communicated to the TV crew, and he said it. He goes, this goal, you know, this puck might have gone in.
Well, that's what that means. When the stadium horn sounds, it means Toronto's called the rink and said, stop it, stop play, because we're going to look at it. And so there you go. And that was the right call, too. Rask almost made that save.
I was going to say, and he almost got that one. When you know, again, in real time. Yeah, so I don't know whether you were watching a monitor then or watching the game live.
Monitor.
Okay, on the monitor, I thought, how did he get that? How did that not go? How the hell did he get that puck? Like, I don't know how he made that stop. And if the puck had been flat instead of on its side, it might not have crossed that line.
Right. That's right.
Like, it was unbelievable.
Al, in Mansfield, reason why the Bruins won. What's the reason the Bruins won, Al?
Well, I think mainly in the third period is they're pinching at the blue line and the red line when it was 1-0. I mean, they stopped them before they can come out of their end zone, out of their zone. And then before you know it, that there's a turnover, they shoot, we score.
You make a good point. Yeah, they were still aggressive at the blue line in the third period. They didn't lay back.
No. And again, I thought they did a better job checking all the way around in that game. Forechecking, back checking, the whole nine yards. It was their best game of the series. I don't think it's even all that close. I'm not sure they've had a game like it.
The 7-2 game was all power plays.
Right. So there wasn't a game like that in the series where you felt like the Bruins are on it tonight. Like they were on it. They were on pucks. They were in the right place. It was easily to me their best game of the series.
In game one, they were down 2-0. They took a half a game to wake up.
So I don't think they've played a game like that in all six. The question is, can they repeat it?
Brian and Waylon, your thoughts.
Hi. Yeah. So I think you guys have done a good job at highlighting how dominant the Blues have looked. Even in games 4 and 5, it felt like the Bruins were hanging on by a thread. And even after the first goal last night, you know, I didn't feel any better.
Me neither.
They were still going on by a thread. But, Maz, I think you should be pounding your chest because it was Binnington who gave up that soft goal to Carlo. I mean, he took that shot from a mile away. It was tipped at, like, the top of the circles. And
I don't even think it was tipped.
He showed himself there.
Yeah,
it just bounced.
Yeah, it bounced. Took a weird bounce.
Yeah, I'm not taking any victory laps. Believe me, this series is way too hard to predict.
And he's bounced back every time, but right. My God.
I mean, that's a brutal one to give up.
I'm telling you, that St. Louis team is a testament to the elite defensemen may be just as important, if not more important, than elite goalies.
Because they clean up that front area. They're good at that.
If Bennington just had a run-of-the-mill defense corps, oh my God, how does he survive?
He doesn't. He's probably not in the league. I mean, he might not be in the league. Like, and where it beat him to me, like, you remember the one that in the Columbus series that took the funny hop on Bobrovsky, then Grizzlick shot it. And Bobrovsky had a completely changed
him. Oh, yeah, he made a great save.
Right? Fabulous save. This wasn't like that. I mean, this bounced into him. And he let it get under his arm.
Seven hole, baby.
And he's vulnerable there. That spot, it was the San Jose series, was the same thing. He got beat in the same spot. And it happened earlier in this series, too. He's loose there. His arms are loose.
Okay, coming up next, we do want to update you on the David Ortiz situation. There is a report from the Daily Mail in London, which always gets the good stuff first, about a motive for the shooting of David Ortiz. We'll give you those details right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Mass and Felger.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
25-year-old Eddie Felice Garcia was arrested in connection with the shooting. Police do not know the motive at this point. Initially, it was believed to be a robbery, but clearly from the surveillance video, that was not the case. And considering the response by people on the ground, you see just how beloved David Ortiz is in the Dominican Republic.
Okay, that's Jeff Passan, ESPN, on this morning. We all know the news by now. David Ortiz shot in a bar in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, last night. Underwent 6 hours of surgery. I keep reading reports that say he's expected to make a full recovery. But I also hear reports that he's had to have parts of organs removed and parts of his intestine removed and gallbladder removed. And what did you say?
Part of his liver removed as well.
And the Sox are sending a private plane to bring him back up here?
Yeah, correct. The latest was that they sent their team plane to the Dominican Republic. Doctors approved his transfer for further treatment once the plane is ready. So he should be on his way to Boston any moment now.
Okay. Terrifying.
And, the things about the clinic and, that's not... I don't want to get shot anywhere, but never mind having to go to the Minute Clinic in the DR, for a potentially fatal gunshot wound. Just the whole thing is just, oh. So, of course, thoughts and prayers for David Ortiz and Tiffany and his family and all of that. A pretty sickening thing that came across last night. And it's just going to get salacious because it was first reported as a robbery, which then you saw the video and that made no sense.
Clearly not.
No way was it a robbery. Well, we know that now.
Because,
it looks like an assassination attempt.
Which is what it was.
No one took anything. Guys drove up on a motorcycle, jumped off, shot him, and it may have been more than one shooter. jumped back on, tried to get away. They caught one guy, they being other patrons of the bar, fans of Ortiz, and beat the bag out of this guy. He may not even have been the shooter, apparently. Other guy got away. Did they apprehend the second guy? Do we know?
No,
not that I've seen yet.
Okay, so this is where, you know, I don't know, add insult to injury. Daily Mail in London reports, David Ortiz, ex-Red Sox star, was shot in a Dominican Republic bar by, quote, two cops hired by a drug lord who believed the baseball hero was having an affair with his wife. So that's the headline. I'll just read the story. Police in the DR believe former Red Sox star David Big Papi Ortiz was shot by two cops hired by a DR drug lord who believed the baseball player was having an affair with his wife, DailyMail.com has learned. Three law enforcement sources confirmed the motive on Monday as Ortiz, 43, recovered in the hospital. The drug lord has not been named. On Monday, Ortiz's representative Leo Lopez denied that the shooting had anything to do with the woman, but said it was an act of hired killers. Quote, there is no doubt it was an act of hired killers. If we had known that there was a dangerous situation, he would not have been there at that moment, Leo Lopez told a media source down in DR. I don't even want to pronounce it. Ortiz is expected to make a full recovery, but suffered liver damage during the six-hour operation, his spokesman said. The former slugger for the Sox was shot in the back at near point-blank range while having drinks with friends, including local TV host Yoel Lopez. Police have arrested Eddie Feliz Garcia so far, but their investigation is ongoing. Garcia was chased down at the bar by a crowd of Ortiz supporters and was beaten relentlessly until police arrived. It is unclear if he was the person who pulled the trigger or if he was driving the motorcycle. And I'll just stop right there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, terrifying. Again, and when I first saw the video last night, I had trouble making it out because I didn't see one with the circles on it. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Who's who? And then when you see it and Ortiz is identified, the guy walks in. And for the people who haven't seen it, Ortiz is basically the top middle of the screen. This guy walks in and just shoots him in the back.
At almost point blank range.
Yeah, I mean, he was what, a few feet away? Yeah.
With a big piece. He's holding it with two hands, right? Like,
I think it was a handgun.
I thought it was a handgun.
So he just has his hand extended?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah.
The other hand underneath to...
Got it.
And so look, again, now in the last, you know, 12, 24 hours, however you want to define it, there's been a lot of stuff that has come out. Initially, there was a story about the robbery.
Right.
Then you saw the video and said, there's no way. I mean, guy walks in, shoots a man in the back. He knows who he was shooting, and he didn't take anything, as you said, Mike. So you look at it and go, well, that's not a robbery. Then there was someone was on the midday show today and said that one of the guys Ortiz was with, Murray.
Secreto. He's a Dominican
rapper,
yeah,
right?
Dominican rapper who he was with. And that seems to be one of the stories that is also floating around on social media. I heard that same call on the midday show, and that those in the area that have ties to the DR have talked to family down there. And that's one of the stories that's floating around, is that Poppy was with this big rapper down there. He's talked a lot of trash about other guys, and the hit was supposed to be on Secreto.
And they got the wrong guy?
Yeah.
But I don't believe that.
I don't either.
Me neither.
Because, again, David Ortiz down there, like Pedro.
Pretty recognizable.
He's like one of the, probably the five most recognizable people in the country. I mean, you know, again, they all know him. Baseball down there is just, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, gigantic. Those guys are huge down there. Absolutely, positively huge. And so, this, if you're asking me my opinion, this guy knew it was Ortiz, walked up and shot him in the back. It wasn't intended for anybody but David Ortiz, which, again, leads to all sorts of speculation. And then you say, well, what was going on there? I mean, how is it that someone is sitting in a bar and someone walks up and shoots him in the back? Not that any of it, you know, justifies an assassination attempt. But, like, I, you know, to me, terrifying. Terrifying. And Ortiz apparently has said in the past that he's feared for his safety down there.
He has.
That you know, the country has gotten unsafe in a lot of areas. And, you know, Santo Domingo, I spent a little bit of time there, not a lot. But Santo Domingo has a, you know, a little bit of a third world feel to it, you know. And I went there years and years and years ago.
When you did the book with them?
I did. Yeah, that's exactly when I went. And so, you know, the...
Why did you spend so much time back there?
Because it's home. I mean, I think that's really that simple. You know, his father's still down there. His mother died a long time ago.
His father and brothers, brother.
And he's got a lot of buddies down there. I mean, again, you know, I think Pedro still goes back a lot. And so, you know, it's just, it's home. It's what they know. And so, but there's obviously going to be a lot that comes out with this thing as we go along. And so, you know, for it to happen to someone like him down there, because those guys are revered. They are revered down there. like it is to me, if I were, you know, someone who lived there, it's scary, terrifying, absolutely positively terrifying, because if it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody. Like, you know, so the video is chilling.
Oh, my God.
It is. It's chilling.
How do you survive that?
So, you know, I hear that, you know,
that guy was a bad shot. That's how he survived.
Yeah. So, first of all,
where is he supposed to shoot him? Well, the head.
Yeah. So, I was going to say, not that I'm like an expert on the topic, but he shot him in the back instead of the head. I mean, he could have easily ended it. So I don't know. I don't know if there was a message there, but I doubt it.
Is that a message?
Maybe.
I don't know. Stupid TV cop shows is my extent of my knowledge.
Like, but, you know, I'm not.
Is that what you do to send someone a warning? You point blank range, crank him in the back.
So,
but, a guy that size. I mean, if you wanted to finish it, like I think that. Look, I mean, who knows what is going through the guy who's the shooter's mind? But if you wanted to finish it, that's not where you would shoot. I would think.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think Ortiz got astonishingly lucky.
Oh, my God.
I mean, even if it hits his spine, he's paralyzed or any one of a million things. And look, he may not. The reports that I see, and this is now the I play a doctor on TV part of me coming out. But, like, he lost part of his intestines and the part of his liver is, honestly, I think, even less of a concern. But his quality of life, you know, is he going to need like a colostomy or like there's all kinds of stuff that comes up. So this is hardly one of those things that you just say, well, he gets shot and he's fine. You know, I don't think we're talking about Plaxico Burress.
Messed up.
Scary. Really terrifying.
All right. So anyway, there's that. I mean, you want to weigh in? I don't know what you want to weigh in with. I don't know. You want to weigh in? You can weigh in. We're mostly Bruins Blues say, but that Ortiz news continues. And Murray, did they say when they were going to pick him up, when they were going to bring him back?
No, it's pretty vague in terms of, you know, the timeline when he's going to be returning to Boston.
And then there's the whole thing about the medical care, too, that I mentioned. You know, the clinic?
Get him the hell out of there.
Is that a hospital? Like they've...
Best medical care in the world is here. Get him here as soon as possible.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, I don't know how hard a decision is, but I give the Red Sox credit, like getting him out of there as soon as they can. Like, you know, because he's you're not going to get any better care than in the United States. And then beyond that, probably not any better care than you're going to get in Boston.
Okay, so there's your Ortiz story. Here's an update from Murray. We're right back with your...
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline ma.org.